Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all. And we have a new pupil. Well, this is my first time meeting him, and we do welcome him to the school, although I know he has already been made welcome by teachers and pupils already. It's nice to see you all. Well, let's turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, the last book in the Bible, but one. So it's one book back from the last book in the Bible. Book of Jude, and we're going to continue our study in this wonderful little book, the book of Jude. It's small, but it's condensed. It contains so much. And I hope that our studies have helped you to understand that. We're going to look at verse 11, which is the next verse in our study. The verse 11, it reads, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Now, Jude's talking, of course, here, in this verse, about those he spoke of in the verse 3. Go back to the verse 3. Look at verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares." That's who he's talking about here in verse 11. Woe unto them, these boys who have crept in to poison the work of God by teaching lies and error, and claiming that these lies and errors that they teach are the truth of God. Jude says, woe unto them. That's a most dreadful statement. To have the woe of God pronounced against you is a most dreadful thing. That little word, woe, we don't use it much in these days, but it's a most mournful word. It's full of sorrow, full of grief, full of horror. And that's what Jude is saying here. Those who have crept in unawares and are seeking to corrupt the gospel, there is an awful, awful judgment awaiting them. We read of those who go to heaven. One day they will meet the Savior when he gathers all his people and he begins to reward them. And he says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." The Christian is the blessed of God, but those who are lost, who are not saved, this word is written over them. Woe, woe. If I were the Lord, what word would I see written over each one of you? Would it be blessed or would it be woe? Boys and girls, we need to seek the Lord. We need to be saved. Well, let's look then, first of all, at the fact that here is the fate of those who reject the gospel and fight God and try to undo his work. The fate of such men as those who have crept into the church and tried to poison the work of God. Woe unto them. I have no doubt that while Jude was able to say woe unto them, these men did not know themselves where they were travelling to. That's the sad thing about the sinner. They have no awareness of where they're going. They go through life laughing and jeering and mocking the gospel oftentimes and thinking Christians are most foolish, not knowing where it is they're going. In Proverbs chapter 16, the verse 25, we read, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I often read in the news of terrible accidents. People of all ages, but principally young people, they jump in their car and they're heading for town. Maybe they have a few friends with them in the car. And they're going to a club or a dance. Who knows where they're going? But they're full of excitement. But they never get there. In their folly, the driver drives too fast, probably distracted by all the commotion that's going on in the car, and they crash. And the driver's killed, and maybe some others as well. It seemed that they were about to go on a journey of joy and pleasure, but it ended in death. And that's how it is with those who are not saved They think that they have every prospect of happiness in front of them. Little do they know they're on the road to everlasting ruin. Of course, it's not just wicked blasphemers like these men, whose names we don't know, but whose activities we're told about here in the book of Jude. Not just wicked blasphemers are going to a lost eternity. No, there are many, many, many people. In fact, the most of those who are going to a lost eternity are decent people. We might well call them nice people, but they're going to a lost eternity because they haven't made Christ their Saviour. We read of a man called Nicodemus in John's Gospel. Now, Nicodemus was a learned man. He was a religious man. And it's obvious from what we read of him in chapter 7 of John's Gospel that he was a decent man. He didn't like the scheming and plotting of his fellow Pharisees with the intent of putting the Lord Jesus to death. He wasn't happy with this at all, and he spoke out a little timidly, but he spoke out. And he said, should we condemn a man before we even put him on trial or hear him? So he had a sense of decency, a sense of justice, a sense of honesty. But when he met the Lord, as recorded in John chapter 3, he was on his way to hell. And Jesus said to him, except you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Never see the kingdom of God unless we're born again. And that's true still, boys and girls. What path are you on this morning? Are you born again? Are you born again? I'm only repeating what the Saviour said. The one who is the judge of all the earth. I'm not making this up. I'm not telling you what the Free Presbyterian Church has made up. I'm telling you what the Lord has stated and said most solemnly. So this is the fate of these awful men. It's a fate summed up in the word woe. Then secondly, let's look at the fact that the deceivers will share the fate of the most wicked of men. Jude mentions in this verse 11 three men who are among the most wicked that lived. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor or Korah. In the Old Testament, where we have a translation from the Hebrew, the word is spelt K-O-R-A-H. Here, the word is a translation from the Greek form of K-O-R-A-H, and it's C-O-R-E. But it's the same person, Korah. Now, these three individuals were notoriously wicked. Cain was the first murderer. And these men who were in the church secretively, having crept in, are murderers, in that they're preaching a false gospel which will result in the eternal death of any who believe them. That's what makes the crime of preaching a lie in the name of the Lord such a serious matter. You're murdering people. And that's why I, as much as lay within me, have fought against ministers, so-called, in pulpits, who tell people a lie, but say it's God's truth. And the people believe them, not realizing that they're stepping out on the road to hell as a result of believing these liars. And in eternity, these men who have told the lies will be dealt with by God as murderers of souls. They have damned the souls of individuals. And realizing that, I have all my days, and I'm still engaged in it as much as lies within me, of denouncing these characters, exposing these characters, warning people about them. They occupy most pulpits today. Most pulpits today have men who are preaching a lie, and by so doing are murdering the souls of those who attend their preaching. Cain was the first murderer. Now, he was religious, because in Genesis chapter 4, we read of him and his brother coming to worship God. In fact, Cain comes first, but he doesn't worship God according to the way God has instructed them. They were to bring a sacrifice of a lamb, but Cain didn't do that. He said, what I have done myself will please God. So he brought the fruit of the ground. He was a farmer, and what he had grown He gathered up the fruit of it and offered this to the Lord. But God rejected him, and he was very angry at being rejected. Whereas his brother, he brought a lamb as God required. A lamb that was a picture of the Saviour. And when Abel brought the lamb, he was saying to God, this lamb is a symbol, a picture of the one I'm trusting in. And God accepted his offering. And he was saved. But Cain wasn't. Cain was rejected and he was angry against Abel and killed Abel. So it will ever be in this old world. Those who reject the gospel, you'll find amongst them those who really hate those who believe the gospel. We read in 1 John, the epistle at the back of the Bible, the chapter 3, the verses 11 to 13. This is a message that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, he was of the devil, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Those who do wrong hate those who do right, because they, by doing right, condemn them for doing wrong, and they hate that. So these men were like Cain, but they were also like another man, Balaam. I'm sure you've heard that name. He's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 in the verse 14, where the Lord is speaking to the church at Pergamos. And he says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. In other words, they believed as Balaam believed and taught what Balaam taught. And what did he teach? Well, the verse goes on, who taught Balak, who was a heathen king, and who wanted to attack Israel as they journeyed to the promised land, taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. These are the words of the Saviour to the church at Pergamos. And that was, what, 1400 years or so after Israel had left Egypt and encountered Balaam. But his teaching, his thinking, his doctrine is still about. I guarantee that most people living in Pergamos never heard of Balaam, even though they were listening to the notions and the views that Balaam held. You see, boys and girls, the lie of the devil never changes. The lies that he told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they're still going on, echoing down through the ages. People are listening to those same lies today. Oh, they don't realize that they are the lies that the devil told in the Garden of Eden. They think they're wonderful teaching and wonderful doctrine that is to be believed. They think that, oh, we don't have to believe the Bible. We don't have to do what God says. We can do our own thing. That's what the devil told Eve and Adam. And they, believing the devil, fell into sin. And that's what's being taught out there. That's what's being taught out there in the pulpits of the land. You don't need to believe the Bible. You can do your own thing. You'll still get to heaven. Is that what you believe? Is that what you believe today? Well, that's the doctrine of Balaam. That's what he taught. And that's what these men who crept in unawares to the church back in the days of Jude were doing, teaching the same lie, that if you're not saved today, you have embraced. May God awaken you if that's the case. Then there's another one mentioned, Korah. Now, you can read all about him in Numbers chapter 16. He was a rebel against Moses. He and his friends decided they would rebel against Moses. They would oppose Moses and they'd say, listen, Moses, who do you think you are? You're giving instructions, you're leading us, you're telling us what the law is. Who do you think you are? We're as good as you, and we're not going to listen to you anymore. Well, they had a most dreadful fate. Moses said, all right, if you think you're as well qualified to lead the people as I am, I'm leading them because God told me, God appointed me. But if you think you're as good, all right, tomorrow we'll stand before God and we'll let him decide. And the next day, when they gathered, Moses said to the general congregation, stand well back from these people who are in rebellion. Don't stand anywhere near them, because God's going to do a terrible thing. They're going to die as no one has ever died before. And if you read Numbers chapter 16, remember that and look it up and read it in your own time. It says that the earth opened up and swallowed them, and they went down alive into the pit and then closed over. Well, God manifested his wrath against the followers of Korah, showing the wickedness that they were embracing and trying to spread amongst others. And Jude is saying that's exactly the sort of teaching that those who have crept into the church is offering to the people. And it's going to end with an awful, awful judgment. Little wonder, if we love the Lord, we oppose modern religion, because it's not of God. The last thing I want to say very quickly is this. What they eagerly think will reward them, these men who crept in unawares, what they thought would bring them a great reward would rather utterly destroy them. Look at the verse again, noticing the wording of it. Verse 11 then. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Ran greedily. These boys who were preaching the lie, they were doing it most eagerly. They thought, we're going to be greatly rewarded for this. Where did they get that idea? Not from God. They got it from the devil. You know, boys and girls, the devil is very, very good at whispering in the ear and promising great rewards to those who will obey him. We have an example of this at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, where we're introduced to the Saviour and given details about him. When he began his ministry, one of the first things that happened was the devil met him and tried to entice him away from the path of truth. And we read, this is Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I'll give you great reward if you obey me, fall down, submit to me, worship me. Now, right away, let me tell you, the devil's a liar. He doesn't possess a penny that he can give to you. He possesses nothing that he can give to you. That doesn't stop him saying, I can give you the kingdoms of the world, but they weren't his. He didn't rule over the kingdoms of the world. He deceived millions within the kingdom of the earth, but he didn't rule them, he didn't govern them, they weren't his to give. That didn't stop him telling the Saviour a lie and hoping that what he said would cause him to worship him. Well, the Lord answered him, of course, and refused his offer. Paul the Apostle tells us this about the devil. Wherein in time past, he's talking to the converts in Ephesus, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. These converts in Ephesus, like converts everywhere, before they obeyed God, they had been walking in obedience to the devil. And they did that because the devil whispered in their ears, I will give you great rewards. I will give you great rewards. The Bible speaks about the pleasures of sin. Well, there is pleasure in sin, but it only lasts a moment, short season. Drug takers today illustrate that. They take whatever it is they're taking, whether by swallowing a tablet or smoking something or injecting themselves, and for a short time they feel pleasure. But if you ever see a picture of those who do that, their lips are all cracked and bleeding, their faces are pale, and there's all sorts of sores have broken out, and they're in absolute misery. They believe the devil's lie, and they're discovering that it is a lie, but they're trapped. Moses, we are told, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He wasn't going to be deceived by the devil. He wasn't going to disobey God. He knew that what the devil offered would evaporate and disappear, wouldn't last. And so it says he esteemed or he counted the reproach of Christ being mocked and sneered at for obeying God, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You see, he was a prince in Egypt, but he gave it all up to obey God because he said, it's better to obey God because of the recompense of the reward. All eternity and glory. The riches of Egypt meant nothing in comparison to that. How wise Moses was. Boys and girls, oh, listen to me. It's better to obey God. Turn your back on the world, even though you suffer for obeying God. 2 Timothy 2:12 says this, if we suffer for Christ, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If you're not saved today, listen to me. If you're not saved today, you're denying the Lord. You're denying him the right place in your life. You're denying the truth of his word. You're rejecting what he says. One day he will deny you. One day he will deny you. That's as sure and as certain as the sun will rise tomorrow morning. You can read in the words of the Savior where he tells of that time when he will encounter those who rejected the gospel, and he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. That's the Lord denying those who denied him. Are you going to that place prepared for you by the Lord Jesus? For he did say, I go to prepare a place for you, he said to his disciples. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Will you be in that place? Are you saved today, boys and girls? There's nothing more important, nothing more wonderful. This is April 1st. Do you know what they call that day? Anybody? April Fool's Day. And for hundreds of years, almost universally, it's a strange thing that in many, many lands, this day was known as April Fool's Day. And people played tricks on one another. And they'll be playing tricks on one another in various places today. And when they play the trick and the person falls for it, they shout, April's Fool! You just watch out in case somebody plays a wee trick on you today and shouts that. But listen to me, boys and girls. There's a fool that is worse than an April Fool. And it's the person who believes the devil and rejects Christ. Don't be that fool. It brings to my mind a wee story I remember hearing not long after we saved, probably just when I was starting my studies for the ministry. A man who used to train young men to be preachers. And one of the first things he did whenever the training started for a young man was to pin a notice on the front of him and another notice on the back of him. And then he said, right, we're going downtown and walk about. And the notice on the front said, I'm a fool for Jesus Christ. And on the back it said, whose fool are you? And that's how that young fellow would start off his training, openly acknowledging Christ and challenging the world for its folly. Whose fool are you today? May the Lord write his word on your hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray you will bless each one today who have listened to this word. Ah, we have spoken in weakness, Lord, but we do pray that it might please God to take the weak thing and apply them mightily to the hearts of the boys and girls here. Any who are not saved, Lord, save them. Strengthen the faith of those who have called upon the Lord. Grant your blessing on the school today, its teachers, its pupils, and the parents at home. Oh, answer our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.